Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage's completely online process lets you get a custom mortgage solution wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Peruvian chef Virgilio Martinez is a superstar in the food world. His restaurants in Lima and in London draw top honors from critics. His menu is devoted to Peru's living world, the edible parts, which he defines quite widely. Ancient and new, low and high, with native ingredients from sea level to high in the Andes to the Amazon. His creations are an exploration. This hour on Point, Chef Virgilio Martinez of Peru. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Have you tasted the potatoes, the ceviche, the quinoa, the algae of Peru? And what do they tell you about the earth, the culture there, the influences of Europeans, Chinese, Japanese, ancient Incans? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now in the studio is Peruvian chef and restaurateur Virgilio Martinez. His flagship restaurant in Lima, Peru, is called Central. It's currently ranked number one in Latin America and number four in the world by the Diners Club Academy. His latest cookbook is Central. Central. You can link to an excerpt on our website, onpointradio.org. Chef Virgilio Martinez, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for the invitation.
It is wonderful to have you right here. And, you know, we've talked a lot with in the world of food about terroir and localism, locavores. You are taking this to kind of an extreme case with your restaurant in Peru. If I understand you correctly, reading the cookbook, your effort, and I think what you do, is that everything that you use in the restaurant comes from Peru. Is it true? And this means substituting lots of things we might not expect to achieve sweetness or consistency or texture. What's your philosophy?
Well, it's all about biodiversity. I happen to be born in one of the most biodiverse places in the world,
because
Peru.
It has the seacoast, the mountains, the Amazon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have them all very, very close. So I have access to all these beautiful areas. And, you know, seeing all these places and exploring all these places gave me a different perspective about what's local, because if I define my food as local, I mean, I live in Lima, so I'm not doing Limian cuisine. I'm doing Andean, Amazonian cuisine. So I had to...
You're really going national. It's not just the coastal produce of Lima.
Yeah, and I realized that we are, you know, working on preservation of natural ecosystems. And that's why we define our menu based on altitudes, because we keep going up, going down to the sea, going up to the mountains, then crossing the highlands to get to the jungle. So, our food is based on different terroirs, and that makes our food very, very global, being Peruvian.
In many kitchens around the world, there would be certain standard elements that could come almost from anywhere. They're seen as sort of universal ingredients that you just use automatically without necessarily, even if you have some very local things on top of that. What are some of those that you're not using, sort of basics that you are finding local or Peruvian substitutes for?
Yeah, let's say in Peru we grow cacao, mm-hmm. coffee, olive oil, wine, mm-hmm. Potatoes, quinoas, different tubers, different vegetables, 55 races of corn, mm-hmm. let's say more than 4,000 varieties of potatoes. So I think having all this with the Pacific coast and the Amazonian River, we actually have lots of things to use. And at one point, we don't need to get ingredients from abroad. I think that we need to support our local communities, our Andean communities, our Amazonian communities too.
We're going to eat some of your creations that you've just pulled together in our kitchen, some already on the table here, and I can't wait. It's really interesting. Let me look at your menu for just a second from Central. Could you describe some of these for us? I mean, right off the bat, top item on the menu is spiders on a rock. You don't mean that literally. What is this dish?
Yeah, it's a funny thing because once we went to the, you know, we were just capturing an image of the sea, and we saw the whole ecosystem of a rock in the sea, and we saw all these spiders, like, you know, very little langoustines, tiny crabs,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, limpets and algae. So we just created a dish which is based on that ecosystem in that rock. And then you continue. You start the menu with a dish coming from the sea,
mm-hmm.
and then you continue going up until you finish 16 courses of exploration of Peruvian biodiversity.
So you're really talking literally different dishes from different altitudes of the Peruvian topography, geography.
Yeah. We don't mix Amazonian and Andean products. So what grows together, it has to be put together on a plate.
What grows together is eaten together.
Yeah. I mean, we respect this harmony, this balance. And I think that's important. Of course, it goes beyond what's tastier or if we... Of course, we really want to have a very tasty dish, but I think... The idea and the concept has taken us very, very deeply, you know, into do something that really means something for us, and the whole team is very, very enthusiastic about this idea of cooking ecosystems.
It's in a way, it's beyond tastiness. It's an exploration.
Yeah, we make some reflections about it. Yeah, it has to go beyond that. I think at one point, that's why we don't do classic Peruvian dishes, and because of course we know that Peruvian dishes are great and they are good and we support tradition. Mm-hmm. But I think some restaurants, we have the obligation to go further and do some research and bring new ideas and you know, at one point just try to create a new perspective of what's going to happen in the future. I mean, we need to preserve our ecosystems, and I think that's a good message of enjoying ecosystems and be aware of that they exist, and they are probably in danger and their beauty. They're very nice.
If we taste them, if we see them brought together in the kind of concert that you bring them, maybe they're more valued.
Yeah, of course. And most of the communities that we work with, they are very happy working with us, and we are, of course, so grateful of working with these communities.
Tell me, I have one dish already on the table here, and it's quite extraordinary looking. If I came across it, I would not know. I mean, I can see some potato in here, but this is amazing looking. What is this?
Yeah, that's our take on ceviche. So we're thinking, why eating ceviche all the time about seafood?
Yes.
Since if you try the potatoes on the bottom,
okay,
yeah,
it's kind of yellow sauce and then potatoes with wonderful crumbly thing, little red and different colors potatoes.
So we use
what's this crisp membrane over the top?
This is a freeze dried potato, and which is covered with different herbs. Different herbs from the Andes.
And tiny little flowers here.
Yeah, flowers, and then that's the heart of the beef, which I just put them for presentation. But we do shavings.
You do shavings off of this. You have to shave it with a very good knife. This is very, very hard.
Yeah.
It's like cured almost like ham or something.
We shave that in the dining room. So,
oh my gosh, I can't even.
It's shaved. It's shaved.
Oh, I have shavings here. Oh, I see. The shavings are here with the potatoes and so on.
Yeah.
All right. I mean,
so it's most. Well, the idea is of
I don't know if I've ever eaten beef heart before.
What we do is we cover the beef heart with cacao leaves,
mm-hmm.
and salt, and we let it dry for about 3 days, and then once it's very, very hard, we do shavings. Like, you know, at one point we were thinking about why should we be shaving truffles. Why not shaving
something local?
Something local and something that we are producing.
It's very aromatic flavor. What gives it that high? Is it not mustard? Something else? There's some.
Well, the sauce. Yeah, the sauce is a mix of ginger, garlic, lime, clam juice, and onions. And then we just make an emulsion with olive oil.
And the olives are also Peruvian?
Yeah.
So everything here, everything on this
plate.
Yeah,
we produce, yeah.
Potatoes came from Peru? The Incas were the first to cultivate potatoes?
Yeah. The Incas were the first ones to cultivate
potatoes. It's kind of amazing to think that there was a time when Europe had no potatoes. They were in South America. It took the Spaniards, I think they came in not until the 1530s-something to take them back to Europe. It's kind of mind-blowing when you think of...
Well, yeah, I think that was the first expansion of Peruvian cuisine,
mm-hmm.
honestly. Not when we...
The outward push
when we see, when we see restaurants, Peruvian restaurants. See, I know, I think that the first Peruvian restaurant probably was a potato, if we just change our perspective.
Right. And now you've got your Peruvian restaurant in London.
Yeah.
With a Michelin star, no less.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think things have kept advancing here.
Yeah, I mean, we've been working very hard with our messages and our food and what we do in Lima at Central is very different of what we do in London, because in London food has to travel, and of course we use probably 20% of our ingredients are coming from Peru, but the rest, they can't be Peruvian.
We're going to explore deep into the topography, the ecosystem of Peru with Virgilio Martinez. He's chef owner of Central in Lima, Peru. More in London. Top restaurant in Latin America. He's been ranked number 4 in the world. These are very high numbers, with the Andes right behind. Behind us here, Lamento en la Selva, Jungle Lament, from The Birth of Jungle Cumbia by the Peruvian group Hueneco y su Combo.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm Tom Ashbrook with Virgilio Martinez. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Street sound from Lima, Peru, behind us right there. And I'm joined in the studio with the chef behind the number one ranked restaurant in Latin America, Virgilio Martinez, chef owner of Central in Lima, Peru, where they serve the ecosystem, he says, of Peru, from coast to Andes to Amazon. How do you picture a cuisine that starts with the Incas and comes right up to date? Do you understand the extreme devotion to the ingredients of one locale, one country? Can you picture a Peruvian menu arranged by altitude from sea level coast to Andes to Amazon? How much of a country's story can be told in a plate of food, in a menu? Virgilio Martinez joins me right here. And we have callers for you from, turns out, all over the world, all over the Americas anyway. Philip is calling from Antofagasta, Chile. Philip, thank you very much for calling from Chile. You're on the air with Virgilio Martinez in the USA.
Hi, Tom. Hello, Chef.
Hello.
I'm calling from the north of Chile, not all that far from Peru, mm-hmm. and I've loved watching this region's movement to reclaim and champion its own culinary heritage. A lot of the cuisines that Chef is referencing are old enough that they predate these current country borders. What you're discussing sounds very similar to what we're discussing in the northern Atacama Desert here.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you could discuss how those food and these cultures span across those lines on a map.
I mean, that's very interesting because, of course, the countries are lines on a map. You're bordered by other countries in the same, very similar topography. You got Chile and Bolivia, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador.
Yeah. I mean, we don't mind that. I mean, the borders are borders. I mean, at the end of the day, we are very connected. We are like brothers, Chileans, Bolivians, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Argentinian people from Brazil. So, you mentioned the Atacama Desert. We've been there and we found amazing stuff. We really want to include in our menus. I think that's going to be the next step for what's going to be our offer at Central. And yeah, I think we have to look back, and we have to look back and see what happened before. What happened during the Incas' time, during the pre-Incas' time, with this huge legacy, we can be making amazing stuff, and actually we can be living together, and we can be living even happier.
We're going to high altitude in a moment. The menu, often organized by altitude at Central in Lima, where Virgilio Martinez is the chef and owner, and we're going to have high altitude algae in just a moment here. But so many calls for you. Joanna in Miami, Florida. Joanna, you're on with Chef Martinez.
Yes, hi, Tom. Hi. I just wanted to praise the chef and Central restaurant. I travel quite often to Latin America for business, and Central is one of a few restaurants only that I would call months in advance to make a reservation to make sure while I was there for just a few days, be able to enjoy not only the gastronomic wonders, but the experience, because he actually goes through and makes the ambiance for all the courses, even infused dry ice before your dessert, so you can actually aromatically be in the sense of having dessert, things of that nature. And those details really make the restaurant really superior, outstanding in the world. I travel quite a bit for work, Europe and Latin America, and I will definitely make reservations every time I'm going to Lima to go to Central.
Joanna, let us take you. That's wonderful. Hang with us for a second here. Let us take you there right now. Here's a little sound from the kitchen at Virgilio's restaurant Central in Lima, Peru. Joanna, you dine there. Can you describe to why do you go? Do you go to for a straight gustatory experience? It just tastes so delicious, or is it a philosophical exploration when you sit down at Central and have these rather exotic sounding elements from all over the many altitudes of Peru?
Yes, definitely. It is not only for the gastronomic joy of enjoying the different courses, but it is for the experience. I recall fondly one time that I was there having a lava rock infused with eucalyptus and carrots with dry ice, so that over the table you could see the fog coming through and your senses and your palates kind of like switch into, now I'm having dessert. And I just thought that those levels of details were just absolutely amazing. And like I said, it's one of about two or three restaurants that if I know I'm going to that city, I definitely make it a point to make reservations well in advance.
Joanna, thank you so much for your
time. Thank you, Joanna. And keep coming.
Un placer, de verdad.
What a pleasure, placer.
Wonderful. Thank you for bearing witness right there. Does everyone get it, Virgilio, when they come? I mean, these are not standard dishes.
Well, that's...
Do some people say, what is this?
It's a big challenge, you know. How can I bring the whole Amazon or just one piece of the Amazon to one table? How can I bring this altitude from the Andes in just one dish? So there is a lot of people working with us. Of course, it's not just my idea. We have anthropologists. We have people working on geography. We have foragers, and we have a strong team. Just exploring our country and giving information to for Central, and we share this information too. But yeah, at the end of the day, we have to focus on these 50 people we are seated at the restaurant, and they want to enjoy, you know, what's Peruvian biodiversity and what's this concept of altitude.
It's a new understanding of the taste of Peru. I think traditionally that meant the traditional cuisine of a country. In your case, you literally mean this is the ecosystem.
Yeah, it goes, you know, and sometimes it goes beyond Peru.
Of course.
When we're talking about ecosystem, we're talking about the world. And, of course, we have to stay humble on it. I mean, we are still in Peru.
Yes.
With our difficulties, we've been through a lot. In 20 years ago, the country was were struggling with
insurgency and political turmoil.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was, Shining Path, all the rest.
Yeah. It was very, very difficult times. But I think our generation, because we've been through all that, that made us very aware of what's going to be for us in our future, and mm-hmm. we really want a better war and a better Peru, at least.
Virgilio Martinez says, taste it. Taste the ecosystem, and in that, maybe be attached to it, understand its value, understand it more viscerally. I have more here from your wonderful hand. This is a salad in front of me. It's a salad of grains, high-altitude algae. I see the grains. What grains do we have here? Is that
We have kiwicha, which is amaranth. We have different quinoas.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
it's almost
like colors.
Caviar, but it's quinoa, caviar. I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, some quinoas, we cooked one quinoa with a red cactus,
mm-hmm.
and then we cooked one quinoa with green leaves. Then we have some other black quinoas, red quinoas too.
So we've got many textures and colors of green, brown, golden.
Yeah.
Are those all the grains and this gelatinous bit here?
Gelatin is coming from a herb called wagatai.
And what is that? That's not the cactus. Which is the algae here?
Oh, the algae is on top. If you see these bubbles?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, wow. that's very curious because it didn't have a gastronomic value maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our search, you know, to give some gastronomic value to a few things that probably are there. And nobody knows much about them. Some of them are just medicinal plants. Some of them are just plants.
Okay, I'm exploring right now. And describe for me again, once more, what is this sort of gelatinous part?
Gelatin, yeah, that's a gelatin of an Andean herb.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the dishes that you probably experience at Central in the middle of the menu where you are supposed to be up to 4,000 meters above sea level,
mm-hmm.
where you're up in the mountains.
Wow. I mean, this is a very earthy and yet lots of delicacy at the same time. And the algae, what flavor am I tasting for the algae?
Yeah, we just infuse some mm-hmm. some wagatai mm-hmm. herb.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the rest is about the texture of this algae. And
where does the algae come from? How high? You say high altitude.
Up to 3,000 meters above sea level. Let's say we get this algae when after rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
And what is important is we have to pick this algae one by one. And you see these bubbles. So it's
quite a work. I feel like I'm eating diamonds here of some kind. Martin in Nashville, Tennessee. Martin, thank you for calling. You're on the air with Virgilio Martinez.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Virgilio, for the program.
Thank you.
I'm from Mexico, and one of the challenges as Latin Americans have is keep the purity for the ingredients and condiments and bring them from where the original plates are produced because sometimes it's easier just to pick up any kind of condiments for the cook when we are cooking, and that keeps away the, you know, the original flavor.
Yeah. Maybe 10 years ago, I used to be very proud of staying 18 hours in our kitchen, you know, working like very, very hard and, mm-hmm. you know, shouting and
right.
you know,
all the intensity
all
of
the
it.
Intensity and living the stress, and mm-hmm, I was mm-hmm. proud of that, and,
mm-hmm.
and things have changed a lot, and in Latin America is a very good example of how we are connecting to people and how we are, as you said, how we are connecting to our flavors, our condiments, our culture through food. So the power of food is huge. So sometimes we don't have idea how much interaction we have with food every single minute.
Mm-hmm.
And And that's important for a chef to understand. It wasn't our obligation. I mean, I thought I was supposed to be working in a kitchen and not talking in a...
About ecosystems very important, and philosophy.
About ecosystems and very important radio. And that's what we have to do now. Well, some chefs, of course. Mm-hmm. And some other chefs, of course. We have to cook, too. So, yeah, I have to cook. And I have to go back to my kitchen and do my thing.
Talk about your foragers. You have them all over Peru. They have to go to quite considerable lengths to find the ingredients that you bring together for Central.
Yeah. We have a lab in Cusco, which is...
High altitude.
Yeah, high altitude. And we gather ingredients over there. And our foragers are moving to the Amazon, to the different parts in the jungle, to the rivers, to the lakes.
So you can't just go to the market in Lima and get what you need?
Well, that will be the easy way, just to pick up the phone and call the supplier. And that's not the right message for our restaurant. I'm not criticizing who is working with suppliers, because, of course, we need suppliers in a restaurant. But I think for Central, we need to get our produce from our foragers, our communities, our people. So we have to build this relationship with producers, with breeders, with people that really cares about food and about this way that we have chosen. So I think, yeah, we need these people. These people is probably they are now, you know, in a lake in the altitude of
Cusco. I picture them diving into a high-altitude lake or climbing a tree in the Amazon. What describe some of the other ingredients that they have to go to such extent to bring back for you to Central?
Yeah, we're working with barks.
Tree bark.
Tree bark from the jungle, the Amazonia. So
you eat the tree bark, or is it flavored?
We make infusions, and we add texture to some dishes with the bark.
River snails.
Are
those from the Amazon?
We make like a kind of a mayonnaise with the river snails. And then we use the sangre de grado, which is a liquid that is coming from a tree, very red liquid. And for us it's important, too, because we need to bring this ecosystem to the plate, to also have a visual thing. So the dish has to look like the ecosystem where we've been. So we have to use these colors and these plants and all these ingredients.
But you have to find something for color that comes from the natural environment. You're not bringing in standard kitchen colors.
Yeah, you know, like 3 years ago, we stopped buying or getting any kind of magic powders, you know, like thickeners or chemicals. So everything has to be natural. Because sometimes, chef, we are so focused on just the main ingredient that we take for granted the other stuff. And I think the other stuff is part of the dish.
The thickeners, the sweeteners, the coloring.
The color, yeah. So now we sweet with we use as a sweetener. We use natural stevia. We use the plants. We use, of course, honey, but we use the pulp that is coming from the cacao pulp. This white pulp. So
it sounds like a lot of work. Do you find some cooks who just run screaming from your kitchen because it's too much work?
Well, there's too much work. We're 25 people working with this, and I'm actually very happy because I'm working with my wife and my sister in the kitchen, and they are like so committed to it.
Chef Virgilio Martinez is with us. His restaurant, it's been ranked number one in Latin America. It's been ranked number four in the world. Central in Lima, Peru. And everything there, he says, is the taste of an ecosystem. With Tarpuy from Inca, the Peruvian ensemble. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings home financing into the 21st century with a completely online process that's fast, easy, and convenient. Using a phone or tablet, you can safely share bank statements and pay stubs without having to dig through piles of paperwork. It takes just a few minutes to get a custom mortgage solution on your terms, wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, the sound here of a shepherd moving about 2,000 head of sheep to a meadow in the hills of Peru, homeland of my guest today, Rogelio Martinez, chef owner behind the number one ranked restaurant in Latin America, Central, in Lima, Peru, where they serve the ecosystem of Peru from the coast to the Andes to the Amazon. He joins me in the studio today. It's a different idea of what a restaurant might do. Straight up old-fashioned tastiness, yes, that's great, but also to taste the ecosystem, he says, often endangered ecosystem now, and thereby to understand the world culture much better through a mouthful, maybe many mouthfuls at the restaurant. Central is the restaurant. You can join us today. What do you think? Are you excited to actually taste the produce of a place and not just whatever comes from the warehouse? What's your question for Rogelio Martinez? Does it make you want to pack a bag for Peru? We have a little more sea bass on the table here with the red cactus and ceviche, but first calls, Mary Elena in New Orleans, Louisiana. Thank you for calling. You're on with Chef Martinez.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking the call.
Yes.
Hi, Virgilio.
Hi.
I just want to make a couple of comments and one question. The question first, do you have a cookbook with some of your recipes? I think will be very interesting. Then the comments are that as a biologist and tropical ecologist, I really do appreciate what you're doing in the kitchen. I'm also enthused about cooking and trying different recipes. So I loved your idea, and I haven't been to Peru, but I am certain that one of these days I'm going straight to your restaurant. And the other comment I want to make is that I am transplanted New Orleanian. I lived here for 45 years now, originally from Costa Rica in Central America. And one of the things that I'm looking at here in New Orleans now is that when I first came, I fell in love, of course, with the culture, and part of the culture includes the cuisine. And it was pretty much local. Dry now, particularly after Katrina, it has turned a turn that is, in my opinion, deviating from the original locavore. I think as of last year, I'm beginning to see a couple of more backwards recipes, so to speak. And I appreciate the effort that two or three local Louisianian chefs do.
Maria Elena, what do you mean by a backwards restaurant? Going back in time, or?
Back in time. And that's what I'm saying, that some of the three or maybe four local chefs from here, they are trying hard to go back to use local produce to put a new twist, give us the same old flavors. Even the gumbo here had changed so much that, and the bread pudding that was so classic of New Orleans has changed so much that you don't feel that you're eating that. I mean, if you have been here as long as I have been, and I'm sure that natives feel that change too. So I think it's important that someone like Virgilio and the local chefs that are interested in that make an effort and bring up the local flavors, the local cuisine, that is not only going to help us, the eaters, but it's also helping the producers. I think it's a beautiful work, and I'm sure that Virgilio is going to push me into hard work to go to Peru, and thank you very, very much.
Yeah, for we need people like you. Please come.
Come from New Orleans. I can answer one of the questions. There's definitely a cookbook. It's much more than a cookbook. It is a cookbook, but it's very beautiful photographs of Peru. Kind of mind-blowing beauty. The book is called Central, and it's just out. I should also say, Marie-Lynn, and for all of our listeners, you can see video of Chef Virgilio Martinez in our little kitchen here, preparing the dishes that are now on the table today before this show. This interest in local is everywhere, and Maria Elena raises not only spatially, but in matter of time. You have a very deep, long history in Peru, back to the Inca. Do you feel that time vector through your work as well, or is it all about climbing mountains and descending into the Amazonian forests?
You know, if we just talk about foraging and inspiration, it would be at one point it would be like banal, like we need something with structure. Mm-hmm. So the structure is going to be, yeah, of course, going backwards and
tradition.
Tradition. And mm-hmm. yeah, we support tradition with innovation. I believe that tradition, there's no contradiction about, you know, tradition and innovation. I mean, tradition needs all the time some innovation just to deal with to nowadays life.
You have many traditions that converge in Peru. You have the Incan, you have the Spanish, you have Japanese and Chinese.
Yeah, Italians, mm-hmm. Indians, and yeah, Africans. Mm-hmm. So it's like the United States. I mean, we have also a melting pot, and we have like this natural fusion that happened for many years, and we have Chinese Peruvian cuisine called Chifa. We have Japanese Peruvian cuisine called Nikkei. We have Cocina Criolla, which is coming from Peruvians, Indians, and Incas, and Africans. So we have different cuisines, and of course we are supporting these traditional cuisines.
Even out in the field, here's a little bit of an Incan prayer of gratitude said in Quechua, the ancient language of the Incans, by an indigenous potato farmer in the mountainous region in Peru of Acomayo. Here he's thanking Mother Earth, God of the Mountain. Virgilio Martinez went to visit this farmer with CNN.
Pachamama mamay campus kay fruto kay wangiko kay wakiko na mihi na ikupa hinalata apo kolka ang pikita nyuska hinata kachung.
Gracias. Well, this is amazing. The adoration they have for the soil, the Pachamama, like Mother Earth, is just amazing. And when you experience that, it really changed your probably. It's not going to change your whole life, but it could make some changes in your perspective of a life.
Let's hear him, Francisco Kikua Mamani, talking about the potatoes passed down from generation to generation.
Estos son los papas antiguamente que mis padres me dejaron.
Special potatoes, native, very important to me because the potato varieties are disappearing. You said you used to have thousands of potato varieties, but maybe they're blinking out.
Well, yeah.
In the home of the potato.
What Francisco's saying is that sometimes he knows that he's losing some of his varieties, and he's concerned because he can feel the climate change, and he can feel many, many other things happening. But, you know, we as a restaurant, we have this commitment to go there, speak to them, and spend a week with that community in Acomayo. And, you know, getting all this knowledge and giving something back. We go with our team full of recipes and stuff and you know, just to exchange, because we are not Andean. I mean, we are guys from Lima, from the capital, and it is a huge impact when we see each other, and now we are friends, and now we work together. And that's the way it's supposed to be.
We have one more beautiful dish on the table, very dramatic looking here, with this bright kind of mauve pink color, and I think this is sea bass. And what else do I see here?
That's a dish called tiradito, which is sliced raw fish.
Uh-huh.
It's very related to ceviche. And then we add some Andean grains called cañiwa.
Dramatic ceviche. Dark grain here on top. Yeah. Again, looks kind of like something from the sea, but it's grain.
Yeah. Well, that's a dish which we found at the sea level.
Mm. And the coloring, is that from the red cactus? This bright, almost.
Yeah, this
pink
red cactus coming from the coast.
Incredible. Oh, that's so delicate. And the sea bass, just incredible. Is this?
So yeah, the sauce is just gonna touch a little bit the sauce, the fish and the scallops, and at this point we really want you to feel the scallops, the sea bass, the sauce, and the
scallops as well. Yes, of course.
Grains.
Amazing, just amazing. I should say again, you can see a video of Chef Martinez preparing all these dishes, showing us Peruvian technique on ceviche, at our website, onpointradio.org. You should really check it out. Stillwater, Oklahoma, Sarah's calling. Sarah, thank you. You're on the air with Rogelio Martinez.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Chef.
Hi.
I'm just calling on behalf of Jack Helfin, who used to work for you, born and raised in Lima, Peru. He wanted me to call and say that you inspired him, and now he lives in Washington, D.C., and he has helped open a Michelin star restaurant there in downtown Washington, D.C., called Momofuku.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So you've got a legacy that's moving into the world.
That's great. Yes. I'm so happy. I'm so happy for that. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I know he is inspired by what you did, and is trying to bring a little bit of Peru to Washington, D.C.
It travels.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It travels.
He has a new challenge. Yeah.
Sarah in Oklahoma, thanks for the news from Washington to our guests from Lima, Peru. We're bouncing all over the world here. I just love it. Susan, thank you, Sarah. Susan in West Roxbury, Massachusetts. Susan, you're on the air.
Thanks, Tom. Hello. Great show. Hi, Chef Rogelio.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm well. I love that you're going out into your own country and helping people to conserve this wonderful tradition and conserve our very earth. But I have to say, I cringe when I think how much people might be paying to, like, I'm guilty of it too. I'm a foodie, but we're all trying to get back to sort of being simple. And I think about those children in Syria who have no food. I think about the children here in Boston who have free and reduced lunch because their families can't afford nutrition. And it just seems like such a tough juxtaposition that some of us are dining on these zillion-dollar meals that we have to forage thousands of feet to find, and others of us, you know, can't get basic nutrition.
Susan, I totally, totally get it. And yet I wonder how you weigh when Virgilio Martinez describes his kind of mission here, to try to bring people to appreciate the diversity of the ecosystem so we don't kill it, despoil it. There's a virtue in that. At the same time, yes, there must be extravagance in climbing to mountaintops to find these ingredients. How do you weigh the ethical weight of these two things?
Yeah, I just think it's tough. I would love to hear what Chef Rogelio has.
Yeah, well, yeah, we always think about that. I mean, we don't want to just work for an elite of guests who are very lucky to go to Peru and
No, you're in a quite affluent portion of Lima in Miraflores there.
We really don't want to just cook for them. I mean, we're cooking with a whole team, and we are cooking with a whole country. And we are cooking with these people. And I think, if we're thinking about changing the world, we are not, at this point, I mean, we're just starting to do something which we think it has a meaning. It's building some awareness. We can go further. I mean, like, we're working nonstop thinking about how can we work and live with tolerance and giving our best? So I think there are some issues that nowadays are difficult to be understood for a cook, for a chef. But now we are working on that, and I think it's clearly our obligation.
One more call here. Kathy in Wrentham, Massachusetts. Kathy, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air with the chef.
Thank you, Tom. I just want to say that the chef talked about the power of food being huge, and I totally agree with that. The resourcefulness of Peru, having been born there and raised there until I was 10 years old, I watched all people, you know, of all walks of life, making food in their homes, sharing food, making food in front of their children, and I think that is something that I wanted to address from the previous caller as far as, you know, addressing this disparity of being able to afford food. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just take it back to the basics, and I hope that the chef would agree with me. Let's take it back to the basics. I have two children with autism, one of them who's very severe, and her thing is food. Her father and I have always cooked in front of her. We've introduced different flavors, even if they didn't like it. We're still doing it. When I was a little girl, all I ate was polenta and pollo a la brasa.
Yeah.
But I was exposed to all these beautiful colors and flavors and the market. The woman of the house would go in the morning to the market and buy what she was going to make for that day. And there was nothing wasted. Everything was used. When I went to Italy for the first time and I went to Siena, I saw tripe on the menu and I ordered it, and it was mondonguito all'italiana, which I ate as a child, and I thought, oh my God, this is where this came from. When I went to Genoa, I had tallarines verdes with little pieces of potato and green beans, and I was like, this is how we eat pesto in Peru.
Food takes you local, but also takes you to the universal. Our time is very short, Kathy, but it's true, Virgilio, the food takes us on a journey. You take us on quite an amazing journey at Central.
Yeah, that's the whole idea of it, yeah. And we are really looking forward to go for more, and yeah, that's why we are working now. We'll be opening something in Cusco, and soon in the Amazonia, and I think we'll be more connected to our people.
Virgilio Martinez, owner, chef at Central in Lima, Peru. It's been named the number one restaurant in all Latin America, maybe number four in the world. What a pleasure this has been. Chef Martinez, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Rafa. Thank you so much for the invitation.
The new cookbook is Central. Central. You can find video of all this cooking at our website, onpointradio.org. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. La pena.